This morning I want to share with you for a little while on a very important subject which could take much longer than one message, but I'm going to curtail the things I want to share with you to one message. It's perhaps one of the most important subjects that any minister or any Christian could ever share. It's the subject of assurance of salvation. If you have it, you are truly blessed. If you don't have it, you can have it this very day. You may have come in this morning without it, never sure if you're saved, never sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, never sure. There are many people in that situation. Then today it is my prayer that God will so speak to you and so show you the truth that you will receive today the God-given gift of assurance in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask a question. And if you've joined us by means of the internet and you're listening to a recording of this message, then may I welcome you. This is Pastor Jim at the mic. May I welcome you in the name of the Lord. And the beautiful thing about listening by means of recording is you can stop at any point, check the scripture, and pick it up again and carry on. May God bless you as you listen. And if you don't have a church, then there's always a welcome for you at Wellspring. It's the place to be. The place to be renewed. The place to be refreshed. The place to be revived. The place to be restored. I haven't mentioned your particular need. Wellspring is the place to have your need met through Jesus. Amen. So why is a message like this so necessary? Because, precious friends, so many people who profess to be Christians, they lack the assurance that they are truly saved. And when people lack assurance, they live in apprehension and they experience oftentimes anxiety. People who have not got assurance about their salvation, they will lack peace and they'll be limited in their prayer life because they lack confidence. They'll be limited in their praise, limited in their worship, because they will often feel so unworthy. They will feel, I'm not good enough, or, oh, I committed this sin or that sin, and they have never discovered the truth. When John says in his epistle, 1 John 1, he says, if we confess our sin, what happens? He is what?
Just.
He's faithful, and he's just to forgive us for our sins, and what else? And to cleanse us, how about that, from all unrighteousness. But many precious people, they have never learned that dynamic truth. And so they feel unworthy. And when you say, come on, let's worship, let's sing. Oh, I don't know as if I can. They feel so bad. If you're in that situation, this morning the truth is about to set you free. And remember, the truth is a person, not just words in the Bible page. Truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Truth is a person. May you come to really know him this morning and be benefited by what he's done for you. So people be limited in their praise and worship. People who have not got assurance about their salvation will be very limited in their personal witnessing. Because I'm sure you understand. How can you share your faith with other people if you're not sure about your own faith? You're not sure about where you stand. You see, so this subject is so important. It's so vital. It has to be a priority message. So in this message, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to show you how you can be 100% certain that you are saved. 100% certain that you're right with God, and 100% certain that when you die, you'll go to heaven. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. So listen carefully. And I trust that not only will you listen and be benefited, but I trust that you will use this message to share with others. And if you want a copy of the outline, just send me an email and I'll get it on the way to you. I'm going to keep the message brief, not least of all because of time. It's one of those subjects we can come back to again at another time. But I'm going to keep it fairly brief this morning by saying this. Assurance of salvation must be based on three things. Now you're going to say, what about? Another time. I thought of all the things that salvation could be based on, but as I thought about the list, I felt the Lord saying, just you major on those. So I'm going to be an obedient servant this morning. Assurance of salvation must be based on three things. First of all, what do you think it is? Pardon? Not wrong, but it's not the right answer. Okay, cutting to the chase, as they say, because of time. The Word of God. The Word of God. You see, as I thought about this subject, and you pray and you say, Lord, what would you have me teach on? What would you have me share with your people? That God gives you the subject. And then you think of all the years since I was 18 years of age, I've known Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And so you think to yourself, why have I got assurance? What has given me absolute assurance? And so out of all the things that have helped me to have assurance, I've picked out these three. First of all, the Word of God. Because you know, whatever subject you and I are thinking about, you get people around us who say, well, in my opinion, I didn't ask for it. Well, I think, I didn't ask for it. It's okay for a person to have an opinion as long as the opinion lines up with this. Amen. Amen. It's okay to think as long as your thinking is in line with this. But you know the story of Job, and Job had three friends. Job was going through a real trying time, and he had three friends. We often hear about Job's comforters. They weren't really good friends. They gave him such terrible advice, and God told them off. He said, you three have not spoken of me the thing that's right. So you can't go by what people say. Well, in my opinion, well, I believe. It's okay sharing your belief with me as long as it lines up with the Word of God. So let's go to Matthew 7, verse 24. And I'm always grateful to these brethren who can get to the scripture quickly on the internet, on the laptop, and bring it up on the screen. I think most of my scriptures are in New King James Version. If I go anywhere else, I'll tell you. Matthew 7:24. Oh, you precious people, many of you know this, but I find this a good foundation. Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's the thing, whoever hears them and does them, I will liken him to who? I will liken him to a wise man, notice, who built his house on the rock. Sylvia said a moment ago, we've had lots of trials and tribulations in 42 years. She didn't say it like that, but 42 years. Was it 46? See, I've lost time. 46. I've got 42 in my head, but it's 46. Forgive me for that. Definitely 46. You see, and that is life, unfortunately. The Word of God says, in the world you will have tribulation. And that's life. But that song was right too, through it all. And in it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on His Word. Apostle Paul had a problem. Lord, he said, take it away. Three times he prayed. The Lord said, no, Paul, I'm not going to remove it. But what I will do is this. I will give you my grace, and my grace will be sufficient to get you through. Hallelujah. May God's grace be sufficient for you two young people in the years ahead. So, Jesus said, I will liken the person who hears my word and obeys it, does it, applies it to their life. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And notice, the problems came. The rain descended. The floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house. But notice, it did not fall. Why not? Because it was founded on the rock. Now, When I read this scripture, a hymn came to mind. I wonder if it's come to yours. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Finish it, please. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid. Someone said, Jesus is the rock that doesn't roll. Hallelujah. He's steadfast. He's sure. Praise God. So, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Many of you will know the scripture, John 8, verse 31 and verse 32. Jesus is speaking to some Jews that believed on him. And he's encouraging them to do more than just believe. He wants them to be his followers, his disciples. Not just give them mental assent, mental acceptance. He wants their hearts. He wants their lives. He wants commitment. And so he says this. If you abide, and the word is, if you continue in my word, if you live your life in obedience to my word, if you apply my word to your life, a couple of things. Number one, you really are my disciples. You're my disciples indeed. And then many of you know verse 32. And you shall know the truth. And what will knowing the truth do? It will set you free. And in the context of assurance of salvation, the truth will set you free from ignorance. It will set you free from confusion. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. It will set you free from uncertainty. It will set you free from fear. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. And John in his epistle says, perfect love casts out all fear. Hallelujah. Please turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul has written one letter already to Timothy. Now he's writing a second letter. Young Pastor Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 14, the Apostle Paul says this. Timothy, he says, you must continue. You must continue in the things you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Notice verse 15. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice that the man or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, those of you who know the scriptures will know that Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. We don't hear about Timothy's father, must have had one, we don't hear about him. We do hear about the godly mother and the godly grandmother. And Timothy, Paul reminded Timothy that from a child, at your mum's knee, at your grandma's knee, you were taught the scriptures. Oh, thank God for godly parents. Not all of us have had those. But where we have had godly parents, we should ever thank God for them. And all God's people said, amen, amen indeed. 1 John 5, verse 11. Let me show you this. 1 John 5, verse 11. John says, this is the testimony. What is? That God has given us. Now notice these words. I think I've got Carol's frog. This is the testimony. That God has given to us what? He's given to us eternal life. Notice this life. This eternal life is where to be found? In his Son. Notice verse 12. He or she who has the Son has what? Has life. Has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Look at verse 13. Such an important verse on the subject of assurance. John says, these things, this gospel, all that I've written, he said, these things I've written, the things I've written about Jesus, the things he said, the things he did, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice, that you may know that you have. I've heard people say, maybe you have too. Oh, I don't think we can know until we get there. It's a bit late, don't you think? Precious, precious people. Oh, the joy that they're forfeiting. Oh, the peace they're forfeiting. Oh, the liberty they're forfeiting. Oh, the usefulness they're forfeiting. Brian's just given me an idea to have some water. Thank you. Yes, by precious people not knowing the truth. Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, obey it, apply it to your life, meditate on it, talk it, speak it, he said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Many people don't know that. But this dynamic scripture, these things I've written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice, that you may know. That you may know that you have, present tense. That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Let me show you the double security that you have when you're a child of God, when you come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Let me show you the double security that the Christian has. If ever I write to you a letter, I don't know about writing, type it, at the end, very often, if you think back to a letter you've received from me, I have a little sign-off, and it is, in His grip. In His grip. And as I type that with these two fingers, I'm not like all of you, just these two, but they're quite fast. In His grip, I feel a sense of security. And I'll show it to you. And if you've never seen this before, get your hallelujah ready. It's John chapter 10, is verse 27. And Jesus said this. He said, my sheep. He's not talking about those little white woolly things. He's talking about people. My followers, my disciples, those who trust in me. Notice, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. Notice verse 28. I give them eternal life. Notice, they shall never perish. How about that? Come to know Jesus, he says, you'll never perish. Neither, look at this, double security. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I'm in his grip. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. There's the double security. Hell secure in the hands of Jesus, the Son of God. Hell secure in Almighty God. Hallelujah. So when I say in his grip, I think, devil, you can't touch me. I'm in his grip. Hallelujah. How about John 3:16? Oh, you know it. Say it with me. Bless yourself and bless others. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but should have what? Everlasting life. So the first thing is the Word of God. If I want assurance, I have to go to the Word of God. And someone said faith. Yes. I'm reminded of a Hebrews 11 verse 6. God says in his word, without faith, he says, it is impossible to please me. For he or she who comes to me must believe that I am. We must believe that God is. And that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yes, we must believe God. We must believe his word. And God gives you the faith to believe. The Bible says God has given to every man what? The measure of faith. Salvation is a gift. For by grace are you saved, not through works, but by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. That faith is the gift of God. Hallelujah. So the second thing quickly. The confession of your mouth. So important. Romans 10 verse 9. Can we go there, please? Romans 10 verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, if you confess with your mouth, what? Not what, who? The Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will be the result? Pardon? You're saved. You'll be saved. I mean, these are the things, these are the scriptures that wind the clock back. All those years, 18 years of age, in the army. I knew a little bit of scripture, but I didn't know much. But it was scriptures like this that caused me to know, hey, I'm right with God. I'm secure. I'm safe. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Devil, me. You know. And there's no condemnation because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. It was scriptures like this that enabled me to go, yes. Hallelujah. May it be so for you. The confession of your mouth. Look at it again. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Continue, verse 10. For, notice, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'd like to read that from the New Living Translation. If at first you don't succeed, try again. It is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Follow this through with me. I've preached on this years ago, and they're not the same notes at all. But as I was preparing, I felt the Lord leading me to go to Joshua. Many of you know it. Thinking about what's in the heart, the belief in the heart, what we believe in the heart. Thinking about confessing what's in the heart and the need to confess. My mind went to 1 Joshua 1 verse 8. God is commissioning Joshua. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, come. Come on. You lead the people. You lead my people on into the promised land. And God then spoke to him heart to heart and encouraged him. He said, be courageous, Joshua. He said, I'll tell you, the secret of your success will lie in your love for my word and in your application of my word and in your meditating on it and in your speaking it. And we'll see this now in verse 8. This book, if you've got the Bible in your hand, this book, this is our book. This is God's word. This book of the law, this book of the word of God. Notice, shall not depart out of your mouth. What does that do to the person when you say, hello, how are you? Can't expect a lot at my age. Why not? And many others. How are you? Really? Is there nothing in the heart that will say, well, yes, I've got some problems at the moment, but praise God, through it all, I know the Lord's for me, and he's with me, and he's in me, and he'll bring me through. You know what I mean, don't you? God would have us be people like that. And so God says to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to meditate on my word, but more than that, I want you to speak it out. Speak my word. Don't let my word depart from your mouth. There's so many things you and I can say, but we can't say anything better than speak in line with the word of God. Keep that thought about the heart, what's in there, and then what should come out of the mouth. Keep that thought. Psalm 1 verse 2. You know it. The Bible says, Psalm 1 verse 2, the delight of the blessed man or woman is the word of God. And notice, and he or she meditates on that word day and night. I love what David the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 97. David said this, oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation all the day. Let me share something with you. When you meditate on God's word, you know what? It enters and is stored up where? In your heart. Then when you speak, you will speak in line with the word of God that you meditated on and that you stored up in your heart. I get this from Jesus. Luke 6:45. Luke 6:45, Jesus said what? Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So don't you see the importance of reading God's word, studying God's word, meditating on God's word, hearing God's word? These days we have it on CD, we have it on iPads, iPods, so many ways, on our computers, on our mobiles. We're driving instead of getting frustrated, not that I ever do, thank God, but if I'm on my own, I can pop on the word of God. I can pop on a message that will help to strengthen and build my faith, and you can do the same. Far better than a lot of the music that's out there. Boom, bang, crash, wallop. The word of God will bless you, feed you, strengthen you. So let me show you something. Remind you of Luke 6:45. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. For out of the abundance, out of what's in the heart, the mouth speaks. Let me show you something very important. Romans 1 verse 17. Oh, many of you know this. Romans 1:17, the Apostle Paul says this. Faith comes. How does faith come? The clue's on the screen, yes. I forget that sometimes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me show you something. Very simple, really, but we need to be reminded of this. When you and I speak in line with the word of God, do you know something? Your words will be heard not only with these physical ears, but the ears of your heart. The inner man is listening. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Don't you see? When you and I speak what God says, when we speak the word, like for instance, the Lord is my shepherd. I hear that with ease, but my inner man, you can't see him, but he jumped up and down then. You're thinking, yes. You understand? So important. It's so tempting. It says, how are you? Don't do that. Don't go there. Must be something good you've read, or did you read this morning? Don't feel condemned if you didn't. That's not where I'm going. I'm not one of these pastors or preachers that say, thou shalt read so many times a day, thou shalt pray so many times, thou shalt fast so many times. I'll never go there. Yes, we should pray. If God says fast, fast. Certainly we should praise. I told you I suffer from suicidal depression. Has that thing ever knocked on my door in the last, how many years is it, 50 years? Yes. But I didn't let depression in. I met depression by putting on something that God gave me, and he gave it to you as well. See, it keeps popping up. He gave me the garment of what? Praise. For the spirit of heaviness. And I found that it really is impossible to say, praise the Lord. It's impossible to go, and praise the Lord at the same time. It's absolutely impossible. Praise the Lord. Wake up in the morning. I mustn't go there with that song. Wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest. You know the one. But you know, you wake up. Thank you, Lord. A new day of divine appointment. Thank you. I can still see. I can still hear. You look across. Yeah, she's still there. Yeah, praise the Lord. And she's alive. You know, it sounds simple, but it's very important. Praise you, Lord. And there's some food to eat. And there's a little flat that God's given us. And hopefully the car's still outside. If it's not, he'll give me another one. You know, and I've got precious friends at church. I've got opportunity to serve the Lord. You and I, we have so much to be thankful for. faith comes by hearing. Speak in line with the word. In other words, what I'm driving at, I'm sure you know. If God's word says, if you do A, B, C, then you have. What I'm saying to you from the heart is, accept it. Believe it. Amen. If God says you got it, you got it. But confess it. Speak it out. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Almost finished. Assurance of salvation, I said, is based on three things. First of all, the word of God. No better foundation. Secondly, the confession of your mouth. And third is this. What do you think the third is, just out of interest? When I say it, you say, oh, of course. It's the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. How about that? The inner witness of the Holy Spirit. I get this from Romans 8, verse 16. If you don't know it, let me show you. When Brother Victor prayed this morning, he mentioned the Holy Spirit helping us. When we're not sure how we should pray or what we should pray, the Holy Spirit comes to our rescue, says the Apostle Paul. Well, Romans 8, verse 16. Look at this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How about that? Hallelujah. So when I said you can be 100% certain that you're a child of God, you're right with God, you're bound for heaven, and that the moment you die, you'll be absent from the body, but according to Scripture, you will be present with the Lord. Amen? The assurance of our salvation comes through the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Almost finished, so bear with me. Assurance is a divinely produced gift given by God's Spirit to all true believers. It is the Holy Spirit's ministry to convince our hearts of our salvation. This means, think about it, that the Holy Spirit who convicted us in the beginning, the Holy Spirit who called us and converted us, changed our lives, also convinces us now that we belong to Christ. It is the Spirit's inward witness that persuades us of the genuineness of our salvation. And let me show you something. God's Holy Spirit confirms the validity of our adoption as sons of God by the fruit he produces in our lives. I'm going to finish with this. You know it. Maybe you say, but Pastor Jim, I'm a new Christian or I'm a visitor. Then Galatians 5:22 is where I'm going. Galatians 5:22, it's termed the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, which, interesting enough, is a translation written by a lady. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, I like this, the work which his presence within us accomplishes is what? Love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper. Is that you? Forbearance. Are you patient? Kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, and self-control. Let me say again as I bring this to a close. You and I, we can be 100% certain that we are saved, that we're right with God, if we base our assurance upon those three facts, not feelings. Feelings come, feelings go. They're not worth believing. Someone said, my warrant, my foundation, what secures me, my warrant is the word of God. None else is worth believing. And the three facts are, number one, the word of God. And number two, the confession of your mouth. Speak it out. This is what God says I have, then I have it. And thirdly, the witness of the Holy Spirit. I finish with the question that was asked by a prison warden in a prison in Philippi. Paul and Silas were there as prisoners. And they, instead of bemoaning their lot, they praised God. You know the story, many of you. There was an earthquake. And all the doors of the prisons, of the prison opened. Prisoners could have run, but nobody moved. The prison warden, in the midst of all that was happening, realized the seriousness that if one prisoner was to escape, he would be killed. And he's about to fall on his sword, and Paul, the apostle, shouts out to him, Don't hurt yourself. Don't harm yourself. No need to do that. Put that sword away. And then the prison warden said, What must I do to be saved? Have you ever asked that question? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be right with God? What must I do to be sure of heaven? What must I do to ensure that if I die today, I don't go to hell, I'm not going to be judged for my sin, my past life, but I'm going to go to heaven, forgiven, cleansed, redeemed, all those words we could use. And the prison warden asked the question, What must I do? What was the answer he had given? Got to go to an Alpha class. Praise God for Alpha. My clock is against me, so let me not go there. What was the answer? Believe. 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 Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And he believed. Not only that, he went on to be baptized by total immersion. He and his whole family. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, my subject will be baptism. Why bother? Please spread the word. Please come and hear. But can I ask you as I close? Have you ever invited Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior and Lord? You dare not trust in religion. You dare not trust in confirmation. You dare not trust in church membership. None of those things qualify you for heaven. Only one thing qualifies, and that is faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever believed in him? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Can you say, Pastor Jim, I've done that. I believed. I received him as my Savior and Lord. If you haven't, can I see your hand this morning and say, Pastor Jim, will you pray for me as you close the service? And I will. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. If you're not sure this morning that you're right with God, here's your opportunity. And I'll pray for you and then we'll help you later on. We've got booklets, we've got lots of things we can help you with. Ask one more time and then I must close. Is there one person who say, Pastor Jim, pray for me. This morning I want to make sure that I'm right with God. I want to make sure that Jesus is my Savior and Lord. I want to receive him. I want to be a child of God. I want to be born again. Many things we could say. But I want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Anyone? Father, thank you this morning for this service. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us these dynamic truths. Thank you that every one of us, we can, if we believe your word, we can walk out of here this morning 100% certain that we're right with God. That if we die this day, we will spend eternity with you. Thank you that if we believe your word, if we've done what your word says, then all of us, we can go out singing, "It is well with my soul." Father, I pray your blessing upon your people as we prepare to have fellowship together and refreshments. Thank you, Father, for the contribution of every person here this morning. Father, those who have listened to this message by means of the internet, by recording, I pray, Lord, you will bless them too. And I pray that out of this message there will come fruit for your glory. I ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Bless you.